Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew to hand off our top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. A newly uncovered Chinese tomb inscription confirms that an ancient ruler was reinstated as emperor long after his death. New analysis indicates that a prehistoric Texas mummy died of constipation with intestines full of grasshoppers. A cuneiform tablet found at the ancient Hittite capital of Hattusha is the first evidence of a long-lost language. And archaeologists in Norway celebrate the discovery of a completely intact 3,000-year-old arrow revealed by a melting glacier. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in 2024 with our fifth tour of incredible sites in Iran. Please join us. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of September 24th through the 30th, 2023. We begin this week in Shanxi Province, China, where a 1,400-year-old tomb confirms the historical accounts of imperial takeovers and executions at the beginning of the Northern Zhou Dynasty. As reported by LiveScience.com, these power struggles at the dynasty's founding were previously known only from historical records. According to the Chinese news agency Xinhua, archaeologists from the Shanxi Academy have now unearthed the tomb of Emperor Xiaomin, also known by his personal name Yuan Zhu. Zhu is regarded as the founder of the Northern Zhou Dynasty in AD 557, but according to early histories, he was deposed and executed after only a few months of rule. His tomb near Xianyang, about 560 miles southwest of Beijing, is inscribed with his epitaph, written in characters painted with cinnabar, a red mineral form of mercuric sulfide. The inscription identifies him as a duke, not an emperor. His rank had been reduced when he was deposed, killed, and buried, and it was only many decades later that he was acknowledged again as an emperor. Archaeologists unearthed the tomb in an area where the tomb of Zhu's younger brother, Yuan Yu, had been found previously. The tomb of yet another Yuan Yang, known as Emperor Wu of the Northern Zhou, lies a few miles away. Zhu's tomb is a deep single room, more than 30 feet below ground, and about 184 feet long. Grave robbers disturbed it long ago, but it still contained 146 artifacts, including terracotta figurines and pottery. The inscription is the first physical evidence of the political struggle that took place during the founding of the Northern Zhou Dynasty. This period was called the Northern and Southern Dynasties from AD 420 to 589. The multiple kingdoms were fragmented by civil wars and political chaos. Zhu was a son of Yuan Tai, a powerful Western Wei dynasty general who died in 556. In 557, with the support of his cousin and guardian, the warlord Yuan Hu, Zhu ascended the throne. However, Zhu rebelled against control by Hu, so Hu had him deposed and executed within a few months. He then replaced Zhu with another brother, Yuan Yu, who ruled as Emperor Ming. Then Hu became displeased with Ming and had him poisoned. He continued to control the Northern Zhou Dynasty through other puppet rulers until he was assassinated in 572 by a group loyal to yet another brother, Yuan Yang, who became Emperor Wu. It was then that Zhu was officially proclaimed the first emperor of the Northern Zhou Dynasty, Emperor Xiaomin, 37 years after his death. Next, we go to Texas, where the remains of a mummified man confirm that he died about 1,200 years ago from constipation. Not only was his colon grotesquely swollen to 6 times its normal diameter, but the blockage has been identified as consisting heavily of grasshoppers. As reported by IFLScience.com, the Skiles mummy, discovered in the lower Pecos Canyonlands of South Texas by Guy Skiles, is one of nearly 150 mummified bodies found in the area. However, this adult male's remains were particularly well preserved, from his full head of hair to the evidence of his cause of death. The hair allowed scientists to analyze the man's nutritional status compared to other individuals. The gastrointestinal contents likewise revealed much about his diet, especially during the final months of his life. The Skiles mummy died of Chagas disease, a disease associated with warm regions of the Western Hemisphere transmitted by insects. Chagas disease is lifelong and often low-level, but can become acute when cardiac or gastrointestinal complications arise. The Skiles mummy ended up with the gastrointestinal version, causing so many problems that he eventually became unable to absorb proteins properly when he was between 35 and 45 years old, leading to malnutrition. He could not move much in the weeks and months before his death. This means that his family or community would have cared intensively for him, including bringing him food. One of the foods being prepared for him in large amounts was grasshoppers. According to researcher Carl Reinhardt from the School of Natural Resources at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, his caretakers had been taking off the grasshopper legs and giving him mostly the fluid-rich body. In addition to being high in protein, this was pretty high in moisture, so it would have been easier for him to eat. Although he was being cared for, his death would have been painful as his gut swelled and was blocked. Scanning electron microscopy allowed Reinhardt's team to study the phytoliths in his colon. Phytoliths are microscopic plant materials that usually survive the digestion process. The Skiles mummy's phytoliths were split open and even crushed by the pressure in the unfortunate man's intestines. The study appears in the International Journal of Paleopathology. Our third story takes us to Turkey, where archaeologists have discovered a new language on a tablet excavated in an ancient capital. The ancient city of Hattusha is the former capital of the Bronze Age Hittite Empire, which embraced a vast region in which many ancient languages were spoken. This year, during excavations of the ruins, archaeologists uncovered a tablet with a surprising inscription, a hitherto unknown language detailing a foreign ritual. As reported by Popular Mechanics, experts can confirm that the new language is a member of the Anatolian Indo-European language family. The Hittite Empire ruled modern-day north-central Turkey in the Late Bronze Age, from 1650 to 1200 BC. Excavations at the Boazke Hattusha site over the past century have uncovered around 30,000 cuneiform tablets detailing the history, traditions, and society of Bronze Age Anatolia. The site became a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1986. Most of the tablets found in Hattusha are written in Hittite, the oldest attested Indo-European language, and part of the language tree from which English eventually evolved. However, many other languages in the region also can be found among these cuneiform treasures, including Luwian, Palaic, and Hattic. According to Daniel Schwemmer, chair of Ancient Near Eastern Studies at Julius Maximilian's University, JMU, Würzburg in Germany, the Hittites were uniquely interested in recording rituals in foreign languages. The new tablet records a recitation from an unfamiliar language, from the land of Kalashma, an area that would have lain along the Hittite Empire's northwestern frontier. Although experts have no idea what this particular cuneiform passage says, they can confirm that the language is a member of the Anatolian Indo-European family. We end this week in Norway, where a melting glacier exposed an arrow with its quartzite tip still attached after up to 3,000 years under the ice. Archaeologists working in the mountains of central Norway's upland region termed it a very rare find. As reported by LiveScience.com, the ends of the arrow are in extremely good condition, with a carefully flaked quartzite arrowhead still attached to the tip and the feather fletching in place on the other end. The nearly 3-foot-long shaft was broken into three pieces, probably by the weight of the snow that covered the lost arrow for so many centuries. According to archaeologist Lars Pilu, who heads the Secrets of the Ice project in the Jotunheimen Mountains, it was probably used by Bronze Age reindeer hunters up to 3,000 years ago. Previous finds show that reindeer hunters often worked from hunting blinds where they could ambush the reindeer, but the recent discovery did not come from the vicinity of a blind. In the case of this arrow, the hunters may have simply been using a ridgeline for concealment. Glacial archaeologist Espen Finstad discovered the arrow in mid-September during a survey of newly exposed areas along the edge of the ice. Climate change is melting the snow and ice in the Jotunheimen Mountains daily, exposing artifacts that were lost beneath the snow hundreds of thousands of years ago. The Secrets of the Ice Project surveys the melting areas regularly to find artifacts quickly so they don't deteriorate on exposure to sun and drying air. Analysis showed that the arrow shaft was made of birch, with fletching of three feathers to help guide the arrow's flight. However, the quartzite arrowhead was visible only at its tip because the Bronze Age hunter who made it had covered it with pitch. The pitch would have secured the arrowhead to the shaft and smoothed the whole front end of the arrow. According to Piller, the smaller shape on the tip would have allowed for better penetration. The pitch likely came from birch trees. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our new subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.